James Zamperone able to host the show. As you know, the show's name is The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we kind of trade off. We do a lot of things together. We've written many, many books together. You can check them out at naturalnurse.com books, such as Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, Weight Loss, The Natural Medicine Chest, Supplements for Pain, Natural Methods for Virility, all kinds of books, The Natural Guide to Great Sex. They're all there for you at naturalnurse.com books. We also, almost every single day, teach a class either online, which are certified for CE credits for nurses, midwives, nurse practitioners, nutritionists, RDs, massage therapists, acupuncturists. And you don't have to be any of those to take the class. If you take the class and you're not a licensed professional, then you can get a certificate of attendance for attending the class, whether you get the CE credits or not. So some of the ones we have coming up this week, we have herbal certification course, Feeling the Consciousness of Plants. So this is a really interesting class if you're interested in some of the newest science as well as the oldest spiritual techniques about how to integrate plants into your life and your soul and decide which remedy is the right one for you. So that's an interesting class coming up and available online. That is this August 12th at 9:30, Saturday morning. We also have several free herb walks on Long Island if you're local. The American Herbalist Guild is sponsoring the Long Island chapter meetings, and they are free and open to the public. We have one August 17th at 6:30 p.m. in Oyster Bay. We'll do a walk by the beach if it's nice out, or we'll meet in the library if it's not too good. And in September, on September 12th, we have another free herb walk. That one will be in Seacliff. We have a class called Career Paths in Natural Medicine. For those of you who are thinking that you would like to learn how to make your living doing natural medicine, we have a full webinar on that, and that actually does have CE credits attached to it. And then we have our famous Chinatown Herb Walk coming up. That's twice a year. It's held in New York City. The next one and last one for 2017 will be September 24th. And you can sign up for that right at naturalnurse.com calendar. Also, we have an edible and medicinal medicine making workshop, and that will be held in Gilberti's Farm. That's in Connecticut, where we go out and gather wild and edible plants and make them into medicine. That's a full-day workshop. And you go home with your own tincture, salves, cough medicines, and it's really a remarkable life-changing event. And we hold that twice a year, and that next one will be in September. If you're in Florida, we have an outside event called Ancient Wisdom of Healing Plants, and that's going to be January 27th, our first workshop for 2018, and that's going to be at the Hippocrates Health Institute. So we have a wide array of events. Of course, everything is also available online, as well as private consultations, both for yourself and your family, and classes in dowsing. So just an amazing array of events pretty much every single day. You can get in touch at naturalnurse.com. Today, we are so happy to have as our guest right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, our guest is Lily Kadosh, and Lily is an award-winning author of the book, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet. She's a certified integrative nutrition health coach, dynamic speaker, and award-winning author devoted to helping busy moms and all caregivers raise happy, healthy kids by teaching their children the tools to have a healthy body and a healthy mind. She has spent years learning about nutrition and mindful living for both herself and her family while working full-time. I think that's called a super mom. I think that's what I am, too, except my kids are now in their you know, 40s, but I did that for many, many years. Thinking back on it, I almost can't remember it because it was so stressful. But anyway, being a very busy working mom, she has determined to find a way to feed her kids healthy and teach them the tools to have a healthy body and mind so that they could successfully face the ever-growing expectations that kids face today. And you can find Lily and her book at busymomscheatsheet.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Lily.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go back in time a little bit and share with us, were you always into a healthy lifestyle?
I always loved eating, and I always loved cooking, and I was always interested in healthy living, I think, because I struggled with it as an adolescent and even into early adulthood. I didn't really understand how to, you know, monitor portions all the time, make sure I have, like, a healthy weight range. That always seemed like luck, whether I was, like, at my goal weight or not, and you could say I probably went through a stage of yo-yo dieting in my life, but I always had an interest in it and always knew that there was something out there, and I knew that it was so important to learn. So having that interest, I looked into it even from, you know, teenage to early adulthood years, and then went back to school to get my health coach certification to really get the training that I needed to first teach myself the lessons that I had learned the hard way growing up and then be able to teach those to my kids at a young age so that they had those tools leading up to, you know, as they grow up.
And, you know, one of the things that's confusing is advertising, because they will often either say or, shall we say, intimate through advertising that certain things are healthy for children, like breakfast bars, for example. And then when you actually read the ingredients, they're horrendous.
Yes. Definitely that, and if you don't know, not only in terms of like reading the nutrition fact label, but actually reading the ingredients and understanding what those ingredients mean, it's hard not to like fall for the package saying, you know, high in protein or, you know, full, you know, fortified with vitamins and minerals. One little tip that I had learned in my education that if you look at the ingredients list and if you see that they have all these different vitamins in the ingredients list, it's because the actual food itself is devoid of all nutrition, and they actually have to artificially put those vitamins in there so that they can have those listed in the nutrition facts.
That's really good information, and a very good little trick that people
yes.
can check on. Like if you, now you're not going to see that on the front of the label. So where would someone look to see if in fact there is that long list of vitamin isolates?
Exactly. Yeah, you have to go in the back and look at the package and look at the actual ingredients, which are below the nutritional facts. So where after where it has the calories and fat and all that, below that, it'll list all those ingredients, and it's usually pretty much up front.
Right. So you need to always be turning packages over.
Yes.
That's how I know my educated health consumers is they're not just looking at the front of the label, which often, unfortunately, is loaded with lies. Like one would be if it says right on the front, zero trans fats. Because that does not have any meaning, because you can see it says zero trans fats clearly in a big bubble or a big circle right on the front of the label. And then when you turn it around to what you're indicating, Lily, where you're looking at the back, it will say things like hydrogenated and partially hydrogenated oil, which is, of course, trans fats. So that can be very confusing, and I've even had questions from customers and clients about, you know, how is that possible? Well, how it's possible is there's lots of legal loopholes. And
exactly.
The one that allows for that is because if you have less than a percentage of trans fat in one serving, you're allowed to say zero trans fats.
That's exactly
true. So let's say in a cracker. In one cracker, and they list on the back one cracker is a serving, it will have less than 0.5 milligrams of trans fats. But who eats one cracker? As soon as you eat two, you know, you're way over the limit of trans fats where it could no longer say zero. So reading labels is extremely important, but the back of the label, not just the front.
That's exactly true, because there are a lot of different loopholes to get around those things that they're figuring out. For example, another one is, you know, the different brands have figured out that consumers are a little smarter to the fact that if the first three ingredients, if you look at the back of the package and the first three ingredients are listed, those have a high percentage of whatever those first three are. So in order to not have to put sugar in the first three, they actually use different terms for the word sugar, and they sprinkle those ingredients throughout the list to not show how much sugar is actually in a product.
Right. So what are some of the other names, tricky names they might use?
I mean, anything with like an OSE, like dextrose, that's a hint that has, you know, different kinds of sugar. So any kind of sugar molecule ending in the OSE, dextrose, fructose, glucose, lactose, maltose, and sucrose. Also, you know, different, you know, corn syrup, corn sweetener, molasses, high fructose corn syrup, we all know is, you know, one of the really bad ones.
We do all know that. However, they have made a new name up for that as well. So actually, high fructose corn syrup can now be hidden purposefully, because just like you said, we all know. So as soon as we all know, you know, the powers that be get smart too. They're not dumb. They know how to market things. And
exactly.
So what they do is they change the name. They make a different name. And then even if you're reading your ingredients, you go, oh, well, that sounds pretty good. You know, now we can call it something else, and we won't be able to know what it is. So, you know, really, really, really tricky. You need to stay on top of it. It was just in the New York Times, in fact, talking about that, a new name for high fructose corn syrup. And the corn refiners are the people who got together to, you know, make up the new name. So it's really like there seems to be a conspiracy. They can call it something now like corn sugar, which sounds more natural, instead of high fructose corn syrup. So, you know, it's just actually stunning, the kinds of things that they can do to trick people.
Right. Yeah, they can also call it fructose, and that could be, you know, high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly.
Well,
they can shorten it to fructose. Now, fructose can be not so bad. If you're eating an apple, there is fructose in it.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between that and fructose that might be added as an ingredient, as is listed on the label?
For that one, I think it has to be like 90% fructose to be,
in order to call it. But when you're eating an apple, there is fructose in there, because that is a naturally occurring fruit sugar that's in all fruits. That's why fruits taste sweet.
Right, just like lactose is the natural sugar occurring in milk.
Exactly. But it's integrated into the fruit, so it's along with all the fiber and vitamins and healthy aspects of that whole apple. That's different than when they extract out that fructose, concentrated, it looks like a white powder, similar to sugar, and add it into other foods. And all of these things raise our blood glucose level, and that's probably one of the reasons why diabetes is so rampant.
Yes, unfortunately, and you're seeing that rise a lot in kids, where 15, 20 years ago, you know, type 2 diabetes wasn't even heard of in kids, and now it's pretty common, and we know that this is something that could be controlled by, like, a healthy eating and lifestyle.
Yeah, I know, a simple thing like that. So it's so wonderful that you have your book, because you make it very, very simple, and even the way you called it, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet. is a perfect name for it because it's raising happy, healthy kids, and it's really like a little guide, very, very easy to just open and skim through, and you have great recipes. What inspired you to write the book?
It's a funny story. If you had told me even 3 years ago that I would have this published award-winning book, I would like turn around to see who you were talking to, because I never considered myself a writer, an author, and didn't really even know the first thing that went into writing a book. But as I said before, I was always interested in food and became a lot more interested in healthy eating, especially as I had kids and saw, you know, what was going on with the rise of childhood, you know, diabetes and obesity. And I, you know, went back to get my health coach certification and incorporated what I learned first to myself and then to my kids and then to my friends and their kids and then their friends and their kids, and then eventually with clients. But a lot of people kept telling me, you know, having these great results with these very simple tools that, you know, there's not enough time in the day for anyone, let alone a busy mom, to spread that message so far and wide. And they kept telling me, like, I should just write this simple book that, you know, busy moms can pick up when they even have like 5 spare minutes here and there as a reference to just learn a tip or two that can like help, you know, teach themselves and their kids the tools to have a healthy lifestyle. And that's really where that all got started and where the idea of a book was born.
It's a very good idea. And also, certainly not for little two-year-olds, but, you know, by the time a child is reading age, they could take a look at this themselves. You definitely could share it with a child of reading age.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of my, you know, healthy eating seminars that I've been having, a lot of parents have been bringing their kids, especially those that are a little older, so that they can, you know, firsthand listen in. And one of my friends recommended it to one of her friends who brought her 15-year-old daughter. And I went into, you know, in my seminar, I go into how all water is not created equal and show a little experiment that shows like how some brands are better than others. And that later on that day, she actually went shopping with her dad and they were about to pick up the, you know, whatever water that was on sale and actually put that down based on what she had learned earlier that day. And that really meant a lot to me that it had such a like impact right away.
So what are some of the little tips that you might share when you're going grocery shopping to choose one brand over another?
Yeah, as it relates to water, and I actually just posted a blog on Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet this week because August is Water Quality Awareness Month, and I wanted to put out some tips on how much water we should be drinking as well as the quality of the water that we should be drinking. And what I go into in the blog, I actually show the experiment, but what I do is I tested the pH level of a lot of the different popular water brands to show that where they fall into the spectrum of being like acidic or alkaline, with the premise that our body thrives in an alkaline environment.
Wait a minute, you're testing the water itself?
Yeah, I'm testing the water itself.
One thing about, you know, water, really the typical pH that water should be would be 7.
Exactly, 7 or up.
Neutral, yeah.
Exactly, because our blood level is 7, I think 7.4. So 7 or higher is what we should strive for. So what you do is I bought, these pH drops that I got on Amazon, and you just put a couple drops in the, you know, different water brands. And we were really, you know, the audience was really shocked to see that some of the popular name brands like Dasani and Aquafina were like a 2 or a 3.
Wow, so they're very acidic.
Very acidic.
We do need to know that those two brands that you mentioned, not that we like to mention brands because this is kind of, you know, public radio style, but nonetheless, those two happen to be made by Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Exactly, I know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Now, they say they add in there various salts and flavorings and whatever when you read their labels. They actually have things added, so that could have changed the pH. That's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it's And like some of like the local, you know, Stop and Shop brand actually tested better than those brands. And you would think that, you know, you're paying this premium for some of these name brands. Also, Smart Water did not test very well either. So it was a very interesting experiment. And really what I try to share with people is that filtered tap is probably the best way to go.
Yeah, that's what I use at my house. But I also live in an area where I have fought for years, and they do not add in any chlorine or fluoride. So, you know, that's great. And you have to get a little politically active if you want to do that. And I've always gone to my local water meetings and notary club meetings and do presentations about the toxicity of fluoride and chlorine. And what they actually put in my town is, and oh, now, of course, I did this when my children were little, who are now in their 40s. So it's been that way all these years.
Wow.
We actually showed, you know, it's about follow the money, because I was able to show the town that it was less expensive to test each day for the bacterial titer and then only add in chlorine when needed. So that's almost never, you know.
Wow.
So they actually do not add chlorine regularly in the water, and completely no fluoride, because fluoride is a deadly toxic chemical linked to the development of cancer and all kinds of other problems, as well as fluoridosis. That's the one we use to convince them, where children's teeth turn black.
Right, right. That's very impressive that you do that in your town. We should I should get that same presentation going in mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cool.
And the more people who know about this, the easier it is. And of course, you always have to, you know, like even now they're talking a lot about follow the money. You actually have to follow the money and make a case for better revenue flow. That's the only way. They really don't care about the health issues at all. At least that's been my experience.
Right. And that's the same way with, you know, putting our money to, you know, if we don't put our money to buying these processed foods that have all the food coloring, artificial flavors, and if we actually, you know, publicize that and get a lot of people to look for healthier snack options, then those companies will actually start making, like, Tostitos is making, like, organic tortilla chips now. And that's only because of
the
money.
Why? Because people are willing to buy them.
Exactly.
And even when we see the increase in availability of organic foods from a lot of the mainstream grocery stores, in the old days we didn't have that.
Right.
So it's wonderful that we do now.
Yeah. And it's you know, shopping, you know, with your dollars, and that makes impact to their bottom line, and then that's how things change.
And so we're seeing a natural progression in that area, thank God. So I think people are waking up a little bit.
Yes.
And then, you know, the response of big industry is to, in legal ways, change it to make it more confusing, like we talked about in terms of the switching away from high fructose corn syrup, because everybody knows to avoid it. So
Right. It's
not that they know, it's that there's an economic impact. And as soon as that happens, then you get a response. I mean, it's sad. We wish it was more about health, but
Right. It's
really, you know, very much about, you know, the cost and the profit margin. Well, we're going to take a little break right here. I'm the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and I want to remind you that we are speaking to author Lily Kadosh, C-A-D-O-C-H, and her wonderful book, Busy Moms Cheat Sheet, which she put together to make it easier for you moms, and by the way, for you dads, because there's an awful lot of stay-at-home dads, actually.
Oh, yeah,
and
this is
you
for,
find
for
out
all
more
busy
at
caregivers.
Yes, at BusyMomsCheatSheet.com. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are Ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and Ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, mahuang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of mahuang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, mahuang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Mahuang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, mahuang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using mahuang so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with mahuang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember mahuang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
Where we list our classes, and that's under calendar, our many books that we have written. We have thousands, literally, of free articles, as well as links to all of our radio shows right here on Progressive Radio Network, TV shows that we've done, YouTubes that are available for your learning, courses that you can take for CE credits if you're a health professional, or just for your own learning and enjoyment, along with a certificate of attendance if you join in. So all kinds of things are available for health professionals and everyone. And thank you so much for joining us today on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. One of the wonderful things about Progressive is that you can get our show as well as all of the shows on Progressive on the archive. So if you hear something you like and you want to come back and listen again or tell your friends, feel free. Also, our show is available as a call show. You can call 701-719-0884. That's 701-719-0884. And you can listen in rather than hear it on the web if you'd like. And I believe we have 5 past shows at all times archived at that phone number. So that's another easy way to access information about the Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Today, our guest is Lily Kadosh, and she is the award-winning author of the book, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet. And she is a certified integrative nutrition health coach, a speaker, and award-winning author. And she's telling us really good tips about raising healthy children. So welcome back, Lily.
Thank you.
So let's talk about feeding kids. I mean, you actually are a working mom. Now, is your job related to a natural lifestyle, or is it something completely outside of that?
It's completely outside of that, but it has touch points into what I want to eventually do more of. So it's definitely been a challenge and definitely live up to the name Busy Mom, juggling that with my passion and raising 2 kids at home.
That's true. So you work outside the home and you actually work in another field besides doing the nutrition. So that makes it very challenging.
Yes.
So how do you bring healthy tips to your children, especially, you know, if you're not home? Do you have a caretaker that's there when you're not there who follows your orders and doesn't give them Twinkies, snacks or something?
Yes, that is very, very important to have whoever you're partnering with to help raise your kids be on the same page with you, because, yeah, there are some nights I have to work late and have to rely on, you know, a babysitter who comes in to give them, you know, to feed them and make sure that, you know, they get whatever they have to get done, and making sure that we're in lockstep is important. But we are, and she's great, and she's actually one of the people I thank in the acknowledgments of my book for being patient with me along the way and a lot of recipes botched before we got to the good ones to get to this point.
So what are some of the tips that you would share and that you do share in your book that helps busy moms and, like I said, dads too, right?
Yes.
Because I actually just know that there's been a really big shift where sometimes in a couple, the dad does something that he works at home, so he actually winds up being more of the caretaker, or of the two people, the mother is able to actually bring in a higher salary, so they choose for the mother to work mostly outside of the home. So there's lots of dads there taking care of kids.
Oh, yeah, and I see a lot of them in my seminars, which I'm always, you know, happy to see. But some tips that I would share for all busy caregivers struggling with feeding their kids healthy is really, I would say that the first step is to plan ahead. And they do say that if you want to get something done, give it to the busiest person, and that is 100% true. And it's really only because busy people have so much going on that they have to plan ahead and be organized in order to keep, like, all the balls in the air. So what we do specifically in my house is we plan meals for the week ahead. So every Saturday morning, I sit with my kids and we figure out what we want to make for the week. So the first thing is, by getting them involved in the menu planning process, they actually feel like they have more ownership and more choice. And they're more likely, if it's like something that they haven't tried before, they're more likely to try it because they were part of that process, and then, you know, eventually eat it. And then taking it one level deeper, once we figure out the plan, actually making a shopping list based on that menu and going to the grocery store. And my kids actually like to go to the grocery store because they love seeing if there's any samples to taste or any new things they could buy. Usually cost me more taking them, but I'm happy that they're into it, which is great.
And then, what do you mean by that? That it would cost you more? They are choosing things that for
they want to choose different things that maybe are not on the list, because what we do is we make a list based on that menu so that we're most efficient with the groceries and figuring out like what we need so that we're not, you know, being wasteful. But then that when they come, they'll be like, oh, can we try this? Can we try that? You know, so sometimes I, you know, say no, and sometimes I'll, you know, let them try a few different things depending on having them read the label with me at the grocery store.
Oh, and that's a really good trick.
Yeah.
So your children are a little older to where they're reading level. How old are they?
They're 10 and 13, but they've been doing this for a few years. And so when they say to me, oh, can I buy this? And I'm like, well, you tell me, can you buy this? And then we look at it and we determine it at that point together.
That's an excellent idea. What are some of the things that you see on the back of the label that your children would even recognize that, uh-oh, this is no-no, even if the front label is all beautiful with cartoons and princesses or whatever? So what would be a trigger word?
Exactly. This is actually a really good tip that I have in my book. It's because there are so many different ingredients on these labels and so many you don't even know the meaning of. And the point really is you don't have to know the meaning of all of these ingredients. In terms of this one tip, if it's a name that you can't pronounce, it's probably not that good for you. So chances are if you can't pronounce it, it was probably created in a lab. When we're not meant to eat foods that are manipulated through science, and I call these like more like dead foods. They don't really have that same life energy as whole foods. So if we turn the we turn the package and see ingredients and they're, you know, reading things like FDNC, blue color, number 3, absorbic acid, benzoic acid, you know, sulfide, anything that doesn't sound like a food name, they know that that's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, all of those things could be harmful, but to varying degrees. Like when you're talking about a benzoate, which is a preservative, it certainly works well as a preservative, but you're talking about a benzoate. The problem is when it comes in contact with any kind of vitamin C, which a product also has if it says ascorbic acid, the benzoate can turn into benzene. And while benzoate itself is not necessarily toxic, you want to avoid it because once it turns into benzene, it's a really, really aggressive carcinogen, which means it causes cancer. And, you know, soda pop was actually sued for having benzoate as a preservative. So they turned around, which was linked to the development of cancer, specifically in children. So they turned around and reformulated it, and they call it like whatever, natural soda, which it really isn't. But in other words, they have taken out the benzoate. So you're absolutely right. Anything that you can't pronounce is probably not that good for you. That's your tip right on page 57, which
yes,
is a good way to start. But as you go a little deeper, there are some of those things that are worse than others.
Yes, definitely. And some things that they have to, you know, keep in mind as they get older. But, you know, when my son was 7, 8 years old, that was like an easy tip to share that he knew.
A great one. And not only, it's for adults too when they're starting
yeah
on this. One thing is just buy things that don't have any label on them at all. What would that be?
Yeah, the single ingredient foods that they say are the best foods out there. So all
foods
and
vegetables. Well, how about just an avocado or an apple?
Yeah.
You know, just a piece of whole food. Of course, then organic is best, but at least even if it's a whole food, it's better than something processed and packaged.
Yeah, 100%.
GMOs. On your list is stay away from GMOs. How do people do that since there's no labeling law?
Well, there's a couple things. When it comes to produce have those stickers on them, and if you see if in that the sticker is a 5-digit code that starts with an 8, that means it's a GMO crop. So that's, you know, for us to know, but they wouldn't like clearly spell it out. That's one of the ways to tell. GMOs are actually in about probably like 80% of processed foods, and definitely most of the brands don't label. But if there's anything in the ingredients that have to do with like soy, corn, any kind of sugar that's not cane, canola, it 99.9% chance, unless that processed food is organic, is it does contain genetically modified ingredients.
That's true. And why is that bad? And what is genetically modified ingredients?
So GMOs are basically organisms whose genetic makeup, so their DNA, have been altered that wouldn't occur naturally with the actual produce. And it's done by inserting a piece of DNA into the different species, creating this new life form. And they do this with corn, soybeans, for example, to make sure that they survive all this herbicide treatment, or if they actually produce their own pesticides and resist, you know, to be able to resist certain diseases. But these, you know, GMOs have not been tested properly, and, you know, studies have shown that they actually, you know, can cause harm, and we don't want to be the guinea pigs to be figuring that out. And some of those ill effects could include the increased use of pesticides, reproductive issues, allergies, diseases, and even linked to tumors in rats.
Well, this is so true, and it's horrible because even the labeling law that was passed is not scheduled to go into effect until 2018, and even then it will not say specifically anything. It'll have one of those little square boxes. I don't even know what those are called.
Yeah, the
those
UPC
little square
code, making it extra difficult so that you have to scan it and then figure out what that means, making it like another barrier for consumers to actually know what's in their food supply.
That's so true. Well, in every other country, they either completely ban all GMO foods. Several countries that ban it, for instance, Brazil, and you know what? Russia completely bans all GMO foods. And many other countries, such as France and England, although they don't ban GMO foods, they're clearly labeled. It says made with genetically modified ingredients right there. So you don't have to guess or try to get a cell phone and then go to a website and then have a password. I mean, who's going to do all that?
Right. And they know nobody's going to do that. And the people that would take the time to do that know these other tricks to figure out if it has a GMO ingredient, you know. But even just to compare the U.S. with the rest of the world, like you were saying, 64 other countries label GMOs and at least 25 countries either restrict or ban them altogether.
Which is really a wise thing, seeing as they have really never been tested for safety and efficacy. And what they are called is they're called significantly the same.
Yeah.
But they're really not the same. But because they're labeled as the same in terms of, let's say, nutritional content, there are no additional testings that have to be done. And something even more diabolical is coming down the pike. It's called GMO 2.0. And people can go to several websites such as SynBio Database. And at the SynBio Database, you can put in a lot of vitamins and minerals, which are now being processed in terms of a new kind of genetic modification. And that is called RNA in technology. Instead of what we've been talking about here is where they have changed the DNA. That's the original way that they made genetically modified, is by changing DNA. And the labeling law of the United States, which is not even in place yet, that we were just talking about, only refers to recombination of DNA. But now they're making all the newer GMOs through recombinant RNA with silencing technology, and that's not even considered to be GMO according to the United States labeling laws, nor are these new ones tested or listed. So unfortunately, this is getting worse, not better.
Yes, that's really scary. And it's another example of once people start figuring out one thing, it gets changed to something else, and then we have to start the whole, fight over again. But one tip to keep in mind to share in the absence of, while we, hopefully, fingers crossed, wait for labeling of GMOs, what a lot of health-conscious companies have been going through a process where if they want to show consumers that their product is GMO-free, they can actually add a non-GMO project verified seal to their product. so I tend to look for those.
Yes, let me just put a caveat to that, because I work in regulatory with many companies. You can do that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about many thousands of dollars and many years. Okay, so you have to do the application, and then it takes a very, very long time to get it. So it is a good thing when people actually have that right on the label. It's great for consumers. But there are a lot of good products that are in the process of trying to get that. It's not an easy thing because there is competition. In addition, that particular genetic, non-GMO project, they were actually set up at the time when the only kind of genetic modification was the DNA recombination. Now that there's RNA and they're silencing, we're not sure if they have incorporated that into their definition as yet. So it's one of these fast-moving things. Again, just buying a regular piece of food that has not been genetically modified yet, that's a really good way to go. Like, there's no GMO avocados, for example.
Right.
There are GMO potatoes and apples, which have only recently come on the market. They have a particular name. The GMO apples are called Arctic apples, and the GMO potatoes are called innate potatoes, and they are not listed as GMO. They were made by what I'm talking about here, which is GMO 2.0, which is the RNA silencing. So watch out for those, and basically just avoid buying them. Well, we're going to take a little break right here, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion on all these great tips from Lily. It's Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet, Raising Happy, Healthy Kids, which she is doing as a full-time mom and has shared all the things she has found out and how to do it easily in her book, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet. We'll be right back with more after the break.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Truth to Power is a weekly program every Friday at 4 p.m. on Progressive Radio Network. I'm Charles Ortlieb, and I was the publisher of New York Native, the first newspaper to cover the AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome epidemics. Each week, I'll open up Pandora's box of controversial questions about what AIDS really is and what causes it. I've been covering this wild and crazy story for 36 years. I've known all the players involved with this unresolved issue. Join me each Friday at 4 as we turn the AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome epidemics upside down.
Someone has to cross the River Jordan. Someone has to find a way to save the day. Let this be the hour to speak truth to power.
Hi, this is Paul Cavalcante, host of The Vinyl Experience, and you're listening to PRN, your source for the best in progressive conversation, news, and entertainment.
Much for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we are here today with author Lily Kadosh, that's C-A-D-O-C-H, and it's easy to find her book, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet. And she is a busy mom and has figured out a way to help raise her children with a natural lifestyle in mind. Do you find there's any problem when your children go to a birthday party or attend an event at someone's house who doesn't share, you know, your methods?
That can definitely get tricky at times. One of the things I believe in that I share in my book is like an 80-20 rule, where 80% of the time we eat, you know, non-processed whole foods, try to eat as clean as possible, knowing that 20% of the time we have to be part of society. I don't want my kids going to a birthday party and the only ones not to be able to have a piece of pizza and a slice of cake. So I definitely don't limit those things because I want to educate them, giving them the tools, but the last thing I want to do is restrict them and then have them, when they leave the house, do the opposite because they feel so deprived.
I think that's really a wise decision. When I started this with my own children, who I shared were in their 40s, I actually lived in a community in Bisbee, Arizona, where I raised all my own food from scratch. And everyone who lived around me in that community, we actually shared the same values. So if my kids went to a birthday party, they were going to get like homemade raisin cookies or something,
nice,
all organic with honey. It was very lucky. But when you move back to a more mainstream area, that's not the option. And I think you're really making a wise choice because if you restrict them and then they do it, then there's all those chemicals about lying to your parents or, the stress of not being able to participate, which is probably worse than the chemicals in the food.
Exactly.
I think that's
a small percentage, it'll, flush itself out with all the good stuff we put in.
Absolutely. Now, you talk about artificial sweeteners can be toxic and cause weight gain. A lot of people who are on, all kinds of restricted diets would be surprised to hear that. They're using them because they think it helps you lose weight.
Yeah, and I thought that too, and this was actually one of the toughest things for me personally. I can literally say I was addicted to Diet Coke and would have one or more, every day. Because I thought if I want to splurge, I'm not going to splurge on my drink and I'll be able to splurge on the food and it'll balance itself. But really learning more and getting more into that, I realized that your body doesn't realize that it's not a natural sweetener that it's eating, so that your body still increases the blood sugar as if you were drinking authentic sugar, to the point that drinking Diet Coke, in excess can cause diabetes the same way as regular Coke, which was really an eye-opener for me.
Plus, there's all those other chemicals in there as well. So how do you do with your children? I mean, children seem, and really adults as well, seem to be so drawn towards sweet. So what do you do about that for your kids?
Yeah, well, one thing, we don't buy sodas at home, at all. So we don't have that in the house. Again, if they go to a birthday party once a month and they have, a little bit of Sprite, that, so be it. But what we try to do at home is we try to make, smoothies, and we have a juicer, so making actually natural juice, using, real fruits, and even maybe using a little bit of juice with some seltzer if they want, that bubbly carbonated feel. And that
I used to make cherry juice with organic tart cherries, so it still wasn't sweet. And, either bubbly spring water or seltzer. Yeah, that was a big one. I remember I used to do that. And they didn't seem that happy about it, but that was soda at home at my house and at yours.
Or even we do a little lemonade where we, squeeze lemon and then add a little bit of, maple syrup or raw honey to it for, a little sweetness. But at least, it doesn't have all these other products that the, lemonade that you find in the grocery store has.
That's a very good idea. Now, what about all these other lifestyle issues that you include in your book, Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet? You talk about sleep, you talk about mind-body, and you have a wonderful and complete easy, fast, healthy recipe section.
Yes, so my book, and this is based on first my health coach training, but also I studied psychology in college. I got a psychology degree at UC Berkeley. So this is a unique book that not only incorporates the healthy eating part, but also the healthy mindset, as well as other things that our body needs, like sleep, exercise. And we, as healthy as we eat, if we're not getting enough sleep, it could have the same side effects as not eating healthy. Gaining weight, you know, even they say it could be linked to depression if we don't have enough sleep. And these days, us adults and even kids are not getting the sleep that they need. So I actually have a chart in my book that shows, like, based on the age, the amount of hours of sleep that you should be getting.
You do. You have it all the way from newborns to school-age children and teenagers. But how do you enforce that kind of schedule with your own children? What works for you?
So what I try to do is I try to first, I mean, my kids are, like, obsessed with growing taller. So I, you know, kind of dangle that carrot that, you know, your body actually needs sleep to recharge and grow. So trying to remind that of that occasionally when they resist going to sleep. But also I try to, you know, they still like me. Thank God they still want me to, like, tuck them into bed. And that's when I find out really what's been going on in their life. Because if I talk to them on the phone on the way home or whatever, and I say, how is everything? You know, I might get okay. But when I actually sleep with them in bed and put them to bed, we call that our pillow talk. That's when I, like, hear everything. So making sure that we have enough time for that and going to bed with them earlier so that they could unwind, we could talk, we can even do a little meditation and just get them into that, like, relaxation mode so that they could sleep better.
Well, another thing I love is your affirmation list. That is a beautiful suggestion to where you say, I am smart, I am full of good ideas, I am perfect just the way I am. What a wonderful thing to focus on with children, actually having them say that out loud, especially while they're going to sleep.
Yes, that has definitely been like a life changer in our house. And the underlying premise for that is that we are what we think, and what we think we end up creating even at a subconscious level, whether we know it or not. So I have, like, a full list of positive affirmations plus a link to a website where you can get more. And what I do is I have my kids choose, you know, just two or three at a time, and, what you know, have them say that based on, you know, different things that they're going through. So having them say, like, I love myself unconditionally, I believe in me. You know, if they were having a bad day or whatever, like saying, like, today will be an awesome day or tomorrow will be an awesome day, et cetera, et cetera. And that, I feel like, helps them with a, you know, more positive mindset.
It's so much better to do that than to, you know, there's always things to admonish kids about. You didn't clean your room, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, and this is the opposite of that. Not that you don't have discipline,
right?
You have discipline, but you can turn it around in a way that is really, really affirming to who they are and their own inner beauty and decision-making capacity. So I love that section in your book. So we're coming to the end. Is there something you'd like to tell our audience, Lily, as we go off today?
Just that it was, you know, great speaking to you. And if you guys want to stay in touch, you can find me under Busy Mom's Cheat Sheet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and YouTube. My book can be found on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and some select independent bookstores. And what I'm offering now, if you sign up for my free newsletter on BusyMomsCheatSheet.com, that you get a bonus newsletter that will list 1 week's worth of breakfast ideas to give your kids the nutrients they'll need to perform better academically and athletically. So I definitely encourage everyone to sign up for my free newsletter, because these are all breakfast ideas that have been big hits in my family.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com. And then until next time, we're hoping that you stay healthy.